when news happens on a day like today, you really have to take it with a grain of salt, don't you? And so there are some Spanish historians that have come out and said, hey, guess what? We found the Holy Grail. King Arthur and his band, they were wrong. It is not at the castle. It's actually in Spain.
You did get your history lessons from Monty Python, didn't you? Yeah.
The great treatment of the Arthurian legends. If you've, first of all, you got to read the Arthurian legend. You got to be familiar with King Arthur and then watch Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And it is absolutely fantastic. They did a great job. Spanish historians are claiming that they've discovered the 2,000-year-old Holy Chalice and that it is and has been on display in Spain for 1,000 years.
What did they just think? It was one of the...
Let me give you the
bedpan or something.
No. Give you the history of it in a slow rundown. They believe that the Grail was stolen at one point. There's a book that's coming out. Go figure, right? Well, the book is coming out that says that it has all of it. Documented that they found the proof in documents in Egypt that were written in Arabic. All right. Apparently, Muslims stole the chalice from Jerusalem, and it was given then to Christians in Egypt. Okay, Muslims would steal it from Jerusalem, take it to Egypt, and then give it to Christians? No. Let's not make a decision now. Let's keep going. Then they say that it somehow, and again, this is undocumented, somehow it made it to King Fernando I of Castile, Spain, and it was disguised with jewels and other adornments and given to him as a gift. Historians admit that can't really...
Does it have some writing on it that says Holy Grail or Christ drank here or something? What? I mean, come on.
Really? It says made in Jerusalem?
Yeah.
No. They say they can't prove that the chalice actually touched the lips of Christ, nor can they really pinpoint the first 400 years of the cup's history. But having said that, they have used scientific dating methods that determine the chalice was likely made somewhere between 200 BC and 100 AD. So there's a 330-some-odd year window of opportunity.
And how many cups of this variety were made during that time frame?
Just the one, Tom. Looking at a picture of it, it is extremely ornate. Apparently what they're saying is that the original cup was taken and then the gold and jewels molded around it. To hide it, yes, to disguise it.
From marauders.
Because we all know, as we learned in the greatest history film of all time,
yes,
The Temple of Doom, that the cup of Christ would have been a small, simple, wooden cup.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't have been fancy, wouldn't have had jewels and all this. Would have been very simple. We learned this from Indiana Jones. And to be honest with you, when I saw that, I had one of those... that absolutely makes sense. Why would he have and the disciples have this ornate thing that would be contrary? So anyway, the question I have and the reason I bring this up with our first foray into the show today is, A, I believe this is, I believe the people that are doing this probably think that this is the Holy Grail. They think that they've found it.
Well, you know what it's done as well.
It's promoted their book.
Apparently, the tourists are flocking to this monastery
now, or
to this church.
Of course.
So it has greatly increased to the amount of traffic they're getting and probably purchasing things at the gift shop and all of the other things that go with Christian commercialism.
Mm. Which is the next point that I was going to make. By the way, the book is called The Kings of the Grail. No, I'm not going to ask the authors for an interview. We're not going to bother with that. I'm going to let that slide. But the question comes in mind. I kid you not. I saw Ricardo Montalban many, many years ago in a late night infomercial selling Christian relics. I believe it was the bones of one of the disciples.
One of the lesser known disciples?
Bob, the 13th disciple. It was the bones or I kid you not. It was Ricardo Montalban, and you could get this relic. It was either a piece of wood that one of the disciples was crucified on, or it was a bone, or it was a piece of a shoe. But you could get this artifact encased in glass, and of course, around it was the cross, and in the center of the cross would be this artifact. And here's the question I have for you.
1995, today only,
and we'll
send you a box of wafers.
No, really? And you call me offensive. The question I have is, what if this actually is? Now, let's just play devil's advocate, no pun intended. Let's play devil's advocate and say this cup that the Spanish historians say in their book is the actual Holy Grail, the chalice. What if it is? What if it is? What difference does it make? Seriously. And this is the question that I pose.
There are people that would call it a religious experience to actually touch something that was touched by Christ.
Why?
I would imagine. I don't know, because of the historical value. I mean, we value stuff now that was touched by kings and queens of the past or by, you know, other historical figures.
Mm-hmm.
You go online and find, you know, you can find all kinds of memorabilia that was, heck, people buy the half-eaten sandwiches from pop stars, for crying out loud.
Of course.
On eBay.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You're actually making my point for me.
Okay.
So if this is the Holy Grail, this is the chalice, this is the cup of Christ that was used at the Last Supper, does it possess any special power? Is there anywhere in Scripture where God said, by the way...
Well, that's the Ark of the Covenant that can shoot out lasers and burn the eyes of non-believers.
And melt the...
Melt the eyes of non-believers.
Again, we know this from Indiana Jones.
That's right.
Now... But my question, I'm being serious, and I guess let's go to break on this, the first question of the show. What if it's real? What if it's real? Does an artifact that is determined to be the cup of Christ at the Last Supper, what does that mean? Does it mean anything at all? WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News, 715-845-2155. Would it matter to you as a Christian, or would it matter to you as a non-believer if the Grail were determined to be real? We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Severe weather updates on WSAU.com. And on air at AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
The issue proposed was, what if the Grail were real? And we can expand it to other things that are claiming to be relics of the of Christendom. All right, so if it's real, Tom brought up a very good point. There are some that would want to go see it. Okay, you know what? I think as a historical artifact, why else do we go to museums and see historical issues? It's fascinating, and you get to be that much closer to history. All right, I can go along with that, and I agree with that. But there are some that would want to touch it. There are some that would believe that this object would then imbue them with some power, wisdom, perhaps healing, perhaps insight. And that's where I think we begin to deviate. And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't recall reading in Scripture anywhere that it says we are to place our faith in anything that is inanimate. We are not to put our faith in this, that, and the other thing. We are to put our faith in God. And so I know this may sound harsh, but I mean, let's think about it for a second. If the Grail is real, other than it being a tremendous and very interesting historical artifact, for those of us who have faith, No big deal. It is not going to prove that Jesus existed. It is not going to prove that Jesus was the Son of God. Even if it was even if on the bottom of it, it said, you know, Jesus signed it, it might at the very most prove that he existed. Well, for those that are true skeptics of him, of his deity, it's not going to prove that he is the Son of God. It's not going to prove that he is the way to heaven. It's not going to prove anything of significant value.
I don't think anybody denies that he existed, right? I mean,
oh, there's a lot of people that say
really?
That.
Really?
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
there are some
so
that just say.
Historical background that he did exist as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
The argument, of course,
oh, there are
will
those
rage
that,
on about other things.
Yeah, there are those that say that the historical Jesus that we have come to accept was a multitude of individuals, that it wasn't just one person, that it was this. That, anyway, and that's, you know, that's really getting into to theocracy and all that. It's a mess. Anyway, so I just found it very, very interesting that on this, the April Fool's edition of the Feedback Show, that the news of, hey, we found the Grail, it happened a couple weeks ago where they made the announcement, but it just comes to light today. All right, let's talk a little bit about, if you don't mind, and I know this is going to seem mundane, maybe. Remember we talked about the digital currency called Bitcoin?
Right.
All right? That it's kind of used for digital underground transactions. If you're online, you're a game player, and you want to buy some software, maybe a cheat code or a character for your game.
Drugs.
Well, I was getting there. You use these Bitcoins, and there's an intricate
papers.
Way to get... Yeah. And then if you want to be really black market, you buy drugs, you buy secret identities.
Counterfeit money.
All this kind of stuff. You use this unregistered, undocumented form of currency called Bitcoin. Well, there's a lot of it gained a lot of popularity. It became mainstream news. It has had some real significant problems with its stability. It is subject to being stolen, absconded with, digitally messed with that can alter its value. It was. It had a actual currency, real world currency equivalent, for a while. It continues to fluctuate. So, but my point was when we talked about it is that I believe it is the start of something very significant. Will Bitcoin be the digital currency of the future? Nope, not going to happen. Like Netscape. Is that our web browser now? No. People don't even know what Netscape was.
I liked Netscape.
You remember Web Crawler?
Back in the day, Netscape was the cutting edge.
Sure, Netscape was cool. You know, and you're, hey, I use Netscape. Wow, what's that? Remember Web Crawler? Nobody even knows what it was. Literally a spider in the corner with a web that would go out and find your thing. Ask Jeeves. It still exists. It's now ask.com. All of these, gone by the wayside. So, Bitcoin going to be the digital currency of the future? No. But there will be a digital currency that will take hold at some point. Whole coins is the next thing that is hitting popularity. And this is being, it's an interesting use. Whole coins are for Hull City, which is an area in England. They have decided that they are creating their own digital currency. The council will pay the residents of this area with their newly minted digitally Hull coins. It is tax-free. You will receive these digital coins, this currency, for voluntary work and for other things that you do for the council, for the city. Instead of cutting you a check, which you get taxed on, they will issue you these Hull coins that you can then redeem for the city for things like, well, you get a parking ticket or an infraction of some sort, or licenses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's creating a bit of a barter system within the county government. They're hoping that some of the shops in the surrounding area will also begin to accept these digital forms of currency. Now, there's a lot of problems that are popping up with this. First of all, how would we in the United States, how would the U.S. Treasury feel if a municipality, let's say somewhere here in central Wisconsin, if we were to develop our own currency and begin using it only for municipal business, But then the shops around the area began to use it and trade it, and it began to be a form of currency. I'm sure the Treasury Department is going to get involved and go, no, if you're going to do this, it has to be done through us, and it has to be taxed, and it has to be regulated. So there's the first thing. The second thing of it is that do we want, one of the things that was a real complicating process for the colonies when we became the United States of America is reconciling all of the different currencies that were being produced in the colonies. You know, $1 over here was equivalent to $13 over here, and a chicken was worth an apple, and this and that. It became brutally hard to do any kind of commerce between the areas. Now, you start having all these different types of digital currency pop up, especially if it starts leeching its way into legitimate commerce, and now you're going to have some real confusion. However, I do believe, like I said, this is just another example that I have found, it's my opinion, that digital currency is going to be much, much more widely accepted, and I would say 5 years? What do you think? I think less than 10, but I believe digital currency will definitely, absolutely.
You think that fast, huh?
Well, think about it, Tom. The exponential growth of our technology is mind-boggling. Things that are coming, people that are developing the hard technology, the actual hardwired mechanics of technology, are doing it to a curve where they're saying, I'm going to develop this piece of hardware. The software and the technology or this idea doesn't exist yet, but they project it out about 2 years. And so when the product comes to market, the technology has met it.
We're pretty slow, though, in changing the way we do things when it comes. I mean, we still have a large amount of the population that writes paper checks, that gets paper checks sent to them instead of direct deposit, yeah. That doesn't use a debit card. They pay in cash or they write a check.
But that part of the community, that part of our society
is dying off. I understand
that. Is fading away very, very quickly.
But how fast will it be?
Well, there's going to be holdouts.
Unless the government makes you. Like, I think, is it this year that if you get Social Security, you have to have your check direct deposited.
I think that's been that way for a while.
I thought it just changed recently.
Did it?
Yeah, I think maybe last year or this year that you have to have a direct deposit. You can't get an actual paper check anymore. And these people, maybe they didn't want to do it, but they were forced to do it because
the Bilderbergers are forcing me into the banks, and it's the New World Order taking over. And
And there's going to come a point in time where we're going to get rid of the penny, even though the people in Illinois are fighting that. We're going to get rid of paper currency of any type. You're going to use a debit card or probably something on your watch or on your wrist that you can just scan to pay for stuff.
Maybe a chip and plant it in your wrist.
That's
or
coming.
Your skull.
That's coming in our lifetime. We will have a chip with our health records and the ability to pay for things implanted someplace in our body in our lifetime.
Let's see. We did that lifetime study. I'm expected to live to my early 80s.
Uh-huh.
So that's 40 years, 35 years. I would say in our lifetime, I'd go along with that. God, that's scary. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. An update on what's happening in Benghazi when we come back.
Wisconsin Morning News now. The Jerry Bader Show at 9 on AM 550, FM 99.9 WSAU.